Like I said, I'm Mark Chappell. I'm from the U.S. Army Engineer Research and Development Center in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And the title of my talk deals with solid phase speciation of tungsten. Tungsten is becoming increasingly important to the U.S. Army in terms of a replacement for a high-density metal for depleted uranium, because people obviously get upset about having depleted uranium even with residual radioactivity in the environment. So tungsten has been touted as a viable alternative. And here's just some of the creative ways in which the Army has decided to take out people with tungsten. Particularly, this is my favorite. This is called the God Rod. You actually release a 1-foot rod of tungsten from space, and you're targeting a certain facility, and so it hits the facility like a meteorite and completely destroys it. So, tungsten is already deployed in new kinds of weapon systems, such as centrifugal weapon systems. And again, its main purpose right now in deployment is substituting depleted uranium in armor-piercing weaponry. Also, the EU has decided that they're no longer going to be using DU as well. So tungsten is something that's on the horizon and continue to grow in terms of environmental implications. This is some previous work that was done before I came to the Corps, and I forgot to put the reference. This is from Tony Bednar, who's also at the Corps. And these are soils that they spike with a metallic tungsten powder, and they allowed them to age. I can't remember what the water content is, but allowed them to age for about a period of 2 to 3 years. And then they extracted these soils with water, basically, and ran it through an IC a size exclusion column, ICP-MS, and then also separate measurements with electrospray, mass spec. And what they found was that, first of all, the tungsten that was being leached off the soils was all oxidized as a tungstate. There was no more metallic tungsten. And also, you see by these chromatograms, both from soil and also from root samples from plants that were grown in tungsten-spiked soil, you have a wide variety of different sizes of tungsten polymers. So what this says is the tungsten has polymerized, and you have a wide variety of polytungstates. The ESIMS data shows that in addition to this wide variety of polytungstates, you also have some phosphotungstates. So you have this material that's completely transformed, completely oxidized, and polymerized in the system. So this purpose of this work was to look at the solid phase behavior, to see if what we were seeing from the leaching experiments was truly representative of the phases of tungsten that existed within the soil, or if there was more information to be gained. From previous work that we've done, we've kind of hypothesized that perhaps there is more to see, because like all heavy metals like to associate together typically in soils, and we typically would expect tungsten to find these iron domains and bond tightly to them. So we wanted to take a look at that. So we used basically the exact same soils that had been aged for extended periods of time, and then conducted some X-ray mapping and distribution type work, and then did some speciation work using X-ray absorption spectroscopy. And all this work was done at a bulk line at BMD, D&D CAD at the Argonne National Lab. This is first some of the soil Zane's work, some of the near edge measurements for tungsten. You see it mixed up in here in the plots is you see two standards that I've included. This is a metallic tungsten, and then this is a sodium polytungstate. And you see the substituting the maximum peak for the white line. You see basically there is about a 5 to 6 EV shift between metallic versus oxidized tungsten. So you can clearly see the oxidized species with Zanes. If you look at these three soils, this is a Fort Benning soil. This is a soil Grenada loring that was collected locally in Mississippi. This is another B94. This is a B94, which is actually another Fort Benning soil. You see that in all these soils, after they have been spiked and aged for 3 years, all of them appear to contain oxidized forms of tungsten. So we really don't see any evidence of metallic tungsten left after the aging process. What we decided to do is try to conduct extended region fits of the XAPS data based upon these kind of compounds that were detected in solution. And this is just a simple linear combination fit to demonstrate that they really don't fit very well at all. That the tungsten in the soil is not well described by these kind of compounds. Particularly, you see over here in the Fort Benning, the B93, you've got a lot of signal at a high K that's not accounted for by these materials. So it basically means we have to start from scratch. What we're seeing coming out in solution does not necessarily represent what's actually there in the soil. So when you start from scratch, I always run to maps, start mapping to find out exactly where I am. So this is a classic example. This is taking these soils. First, we use an SEM and backscattering mode. It does a really good job for the high density, the high Z elements really glow under backscattering mode. One thing that became very clear as we're looking around for very bright particles in the soil is that the tungsten is very heterogeneously distributed. It is not homogeneously spread throughout these domains at all. It's very heterogeneous. And it was difficult, actually, this was spiked with 1,000 ppm tungsten, and it was actually difficult to find tungsten hotspots. But eventually we found one, and here's one right here. And then we run an EDX map, and basically what you see is it's a pretty complex picture. Here's the tungsten right here, and you see very similar types of distributions, domains with iron and manganese. You also see a similar distribution with calcium. We know that calcium polytungstate is extremely insoluble. So it seems reasonable that what we're seeing here is probably a combination of manganese and iron domains coupled with some calcium polytungstate. And based upon these maps, it's probably some kind of illite particle that everything's coating on top of. Okay. So here we see something that's very different from what we had predicted from seen in the solution experiments. We have tungsten that's preferentially distributed throughout a soil, and it's co-located with several important domains that either are important with respect to forming very insoluble or low solubility type minerals. To do further work on the extended region was very difficult because if you go through the crystallographic information database, there's very limited number of compounds actually that have been worked out for tungsten. So what we decided to do was some exploratory work to take some of the X-ray data, because part of the problem is that we're seeing a lot of domains overlapping with the tungsten. So with some of the X-ray data, maybe we can transform it in a way that will help us to see a little more information about what may be out in the extended regions and what may be important for the complexation of tungsten. So we used a technique known as wavelet transforms for XAFs. And this is basically a technique that stretches out the wave domain versus the radial domains and allows you to see scattering atoms that can occur that are different in terms of their K values, but occur the same distance from the absorber. We used a Moorlet wavelet, which has been shown to be useful for XAFs data. And you control the wavelet transformation by controlling these two parameters, the mu and the gamma, I'll show you a little about that in a minute. And that kind of gives you information with respect to whether you're refining your transformation on the spatial axis versus the wave axis, the wave number axis. Calculations were performed using a module that's written for a program called Igor Pro, which is kind of like Origin 8. This is an example of the wavelet maps. This is for a sodium polytungstate. This is a very large polymer, a polymerized polytungstate oxygen species. And what you see on the x-axis is the K data versus on the y-axis is the spatial data. And this is really you see that we're starting really kind of in the second shell from 2 to 4 angstroms. And what this shows you is that you have at low K, you have a lot of elements that are showing up within this area, but at low K, you have elements that show up here at low K, and then you have elements that show up at kind of mid-range K, but you don't see any tungsten where you expect to occur at the high-range K. So that kind of tells you that this is probably the sodium, something like that, and these are the oxygens here. If you go over to sodium phosphotungstate, this is a monotungstate species, you see there's a lot of signal up at the high K, which you expect to be tungsten. But you do see a little bit of signal trying to pop out here, which would be in a lower K, probably where you expect to see phosphorus. So you kind of get the sense of what this kind of tells us, you know, with respect to distance away from the absorber, and particularly where they show up on the K space kind of gives us an idea of exactly where they are and what we're looking at. So this, I'm just going to give you one example of the wavelet transformations for the Grenada Loring soil. And based upon how you manipulate these values, you can get what's called, you can do either increase your resolution in R space versus increase your resolution in K space. And typically, if you go through the literature, they typically find more usefulness out of the K space resolutions. So they'll actually call this an overall wavelet transformation, and they'll call this a detailed wavelet transformation. But this gives interesting results, because you see here, starting at 2 angstroms to 4 angstroms, you get a lot of signal here at low K, some signal at medium K, and then a signal at a little more medium K, which doesn't appear to be tungsten. It's not high enough to be tungsten. So we're guessing it's either an alkali, like a calcium, or maybe even a transition metal, maybe like iron. So we use this kind of information to give us a rough cut on exactly what to use to start the fits. Now, another problem that we had to deal with was the fact that there's very little crystallographic information on tungsten. So I cheated a little bit and doped crystallographic files like iron oxides, iron phosphate minerals with 5% tungsten, and then created scattering pathways using FEF6. I'll talk about it in a minute. We have a more advanced, probably more robust way of doing this that we're working on right now. But when I did this, you see that the K-space data looks quite a bit better, the fits in the K-space. And also the radial, the fits in the R-space looks, it's pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's getting much better. The R-factor values are about an order of magnitude better, and they would be within a range that you would consider acceptable fits. What we're basically seeing is a lot of oxygen in the first shell, which is consistent with a tungstate type species. And then we see evidence for some oxygen as well as some phosphorus. And then if we fit calcium and iron and one of these, a little bit of tungsten, we actually get a pretty good fit as well. So we've actually, what this data points to is that we actually have a very different type of complex of tungsten in the soil. We have most likely calcium polytungstates, some heavy metal type iron, maybe manganese tungstates as well, and just a little bit of evidence for phosphotungstate. So these represent the more recalcitrant, the more difficult to remove type of phases of tungsten in these soils. So the conclusions were that we found a variety of insoluble metallic and alkali type polytungstates, and that really the phosphotungstates in terms of the surface represents a minor proportion. So whatever came off from the leaching experiments kind of represents the most readily available portion. There's a lot more there, at least in this system, that was pretty recalcitrant and difficult to remove. What's important about this is there's been a lot of studies already conducted, mostly by the military, in terms of trying to determine what's the toxicity of these phosphotungstates and polytungstate type species in the environment. However, we have no idea if we're creating particularly heavy metal type tungstates or heavy metal phosphotungstates, what are the toxicity and bioavailability of these materials. And given the plans for widespread tungsten deployment, we're going to have to spend more time on that. This also brings up an issue of when you get more into solid phase analysis and you start to realize that you have micron level heterogeneity, it becomes very difficult to construct. And this is one of the challenges of XAFs and environmental samples, is it's very difficult to figure out what your complex actually is and to find a mineral or some kind of standard that you could use scattering pathways for to fit it to. A technique that we're investigating now is the use of computational chemistry. So maybe I don't have any direct crystallographic files for a particular type of mineral because no one's ever done it. I can use computational, create a certain sorption complex, get a geometry optimization off that, and then plug that into the scattering pathway calculations and come up with some pathways that I may be able to get better fits. So some of the misfit that you see in the previous slide may be attributed to the fact we just haven't nailed down the right scattering pathways to make the fits. With that, I'm done.
Since we're at the break, how about we start with questions for Mark, and then we can go backwards and ask for the other speakers as well. Yes. In the back. Yes. In the yellow. Yes. Go ahead.
It was spiked at about between 1,000 and 10,000 ppm of tungsten, metallic tungsten powder.
10,000? Oh, and then that's used for the zinc daytime and then extended activity.
Right, it was spiked and then allowed to incubate or like kind of like sit there and age for about 2 or 3 years. And it was done under, I can't remember what the moisture conditions were, but it's kind of a very low subsaturation type moisture, just kind of a very general type of aging process, and nothing else was done with it.
So after the incubation, what's the approximately concentration absorbed on the soil?
Still in the thousands of ppm. Yeah, I get beautiful XF signals. It was very encouraging. Even when you rinse it, you don't get that much out. So.
Yes. Is tungsten in finely divided form stable to oxygen and water? And if not, why? What's the mechanism for converting it to the oxides?
We don't know that. I don't know enough about the actual tungsten chemistry to say if you drop metallic tungsten in water, it's going to become oxidized and polymerized. But I don't think we've come to that, at least the information that I've seen, we haven't really figured that out. We're taking a snapshot 2 years later. And so really there wasn't a lot of work done to follow that progress as this thing aged. So those are good questions which we, as far as I know, haven't been answered. I probably should know, but I don't.
Any other questions? Yes, Dibs.
Mark, before getting into the soil studies, did you do any regular pure phase orbit studies with tungsten before? I did not see any particular characterization of the soils.
No, they did. The author that I showed previously, I talked about, Bednar, did some of that kind of sorption and then competitive sorption type work. Basically, it was non-exciting. You know, it does exhibit a sorption isotherm, but there's nothing. The issue that we're dealing with is, you know, really the heterogeneous distribution, the preference to certain domains, the very time-sensitive oxidation and aging. So it seemed kind of secondary that sorption study at this point seemed a little probably not important. They did show that if they leach it with phosphorus, like a phosphate solution, they can push out a little more tungsten, but you know, through anionic competition. But to me, it seemed less remarkable than kind of focusing on exactly what the species is and how it's distributed in the soil.
Any other questions for Mark? Yes, in the back.
Did you look for?
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't control that whole process. That was done by the previous authors. Sorry, I could get that information, though.
All right. Let's thank Mark again.